Good evening and welcome to all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We turn again to his word and our hearts to his praise. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to the sixth chapter of Numbers. The sixth chapter of Numbers, verses 22 through 27. Very familiar words to all of us. We heard them just this morning as they were pronounced at the end of the morning worship service by Pastor Backenstow. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for all of the blessings that you give us to fill our lives daily. Thank you for the blessing of gathering with your people on your day to worship you and to be edified by your word and spirit. We pray, Father, that now as we turn our attention to your word, that your spirit would illumine your word to our hearts, apply it with power, and enable us to be encouraged and challenged and comforted by it. And we pray that you would be honored and glorified. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have here what has come to be called the Aaronic benediction, not the ironic benediction, the Aaronic benediction. It was given to Aaron and to his sons as the priestly family appointed by God to administer in the tabernacle and to preside over the worship of God's people in the Old Covenant. We tend to think of the benediction as a way to put a period at the end of a worship service. A neat and succinct way to close the order of worship, but it is so much more. The benediction is an expression, a pronouncement of God's intention and purpose to bless his people. More than intention, it is a conferring of the Lord's favor upon those who are his. As such, we might describe it as a means of grace. It is God's word pronounced over his people to produce blessing in their lives. The Lord our God has blessed, is blessing, and will continue to bless us, and he wants us to be reminded of this wonderful truth as we go out from our gathered assemblies and into the day-to-day challenges of our lives. The last words that God would have ringing in your ears and stirring in your hearts as you depart from the great congregation are these: the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up upon you the light of his countenance and give you peace. This is not a mere form of words, a formality to put a period at the end of the service. This is an authoritative pronouncement of divine favor, which is the birthright of every son and every daughter who has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. God appointed Aaron, his chosen high priest, to pronounce these words over the people with divine authority. And Aaron was a type of the great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, who possesses all authority in heaven and on earth, and who ever lives to make intercession for us. It is under his authority that the pronouncement of God's intention and purpose to bless us is made. It's a blessing to the people of God. Blessing in contrast to the curse. We labor through the week under the consequences of the curse, living in a fallen world. We deal with things that make us sad or discouraged or that weigh us down with cares and troubles. These things are all part of the curse. But every week when we meet together in the courts of God, we depart with his solemn pronouncement that his intention is to bless us. What's the nature of this blessing that we have before us? It's a priestly blessing. It was Aaron, as we mentioned, who received this instruction as God's chosen representative. God says to Moses, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, 'Thus shall you, Aaron, and your sons bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them.'" This was not an activity that just anyone from among the congregation of God's people could take upon themselves. Only the house of Aaron from the tribe of Levi was authorized to confer God's solemn benediction. Just as only Aaron and his descendants could serve in the priestly office and offer sacrifices upon the altar. And there is the connection. There can be no blessing apart from sacrifice. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins, and where sin remains, the curse remains. In this, of course, Aaron was a type of Christ. And the ministry of Aaron and his sons foreshadowed the perfect ministry of the great high priest. So the writer of Hebrews elaborates on this idea when he writes, "Therefore, since we have a high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Every high priest, he continues, is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest. Only Aaron and his sons could pronounce this benediction, because only Christ, of whom Aaron was a type, can secure it. Unpopular as the truth is in these days of relativism and spiritual confusion, there is only one way of salvation, one path to eternal life, one remedy for the fallen and ruined state of mankind, one name under heaven by which we must be saved. And that's not my opinion. It's the word of the Savior himself. You may choose to say that Jesus was merely a good man, that he was a moral example, that he was a holy prophet who healed the sick and left us with wise teachings that it would be beneficial for us to follow. The Word of God does not allow you to stand on that ground. Jesus himself said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Peter announced, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The Apostle John wrote, "Whoever believes in the Son of God has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him." So if you wish to experience the blessings of God, both in this life and in the life to come, there is no way but through repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus, the antitype of Aaron and his sons, who alone confers blessing upon the people. It follows from the nature of the issues. See, we have a specific problem. The specific problem is sin. Everyone is infected by that problem. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not even one. Altogether, we have become corrupt with that specific problem comes a specific penalty. God warned our first parents in the day of their disobedience, they would surely die. A holy God offended by disobedient creatures. And there must be a penalty paid for that act of cosmic treason. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But there was a specific promise made. Even at the time of the pronouncement of the specific penalty, God promised that he would provide a substitute, that the seed of the woman would be sent forth to crush the head of the serpent, that he would go in the place of the transgressors and provide reconciliation on their behalf. That specific promise of a substitute had a specific provision in Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, the promised Savior, prophesied over hundreds and thousands of years until in the fullness of time he came in exact fulfillment of all of those prophecies and accomplished the purpose for which he was sent. And so there is but one specific path to reconciliation with God, redemption, and eternal life. And that is faith toward Jesus Christ and repentance from sin. The priestly blessing, again, rests only upon those who are covered by the priestly sacrifice. That benediction comes through intercession. In these words that were entrusted to Aaron, the priest acts in this role as mediator between God and the people. He stands between them and pleads for a blessing on their behalf. Before the words are regarded as a pronouncement, they have the echo of an uttered prayer. The Lord bless you and keep you, says the mediator. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Aaron served as a mediator between God and his people, again reflecting and foreshadowing the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5, Paul says, "There is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." So again, Aaron foreshadowed this in his work as priest in the house of God. The blessing pronounced in the benediction is the fruit and the result of the work of Jesus as our mediator, who ever lives to make intercession for us. Again, the inspired author of Hebrews says, "During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek." So Jesus prays for God's favor to rest upon his people. Jesus pronounces as our great high priest this blessing upon us. Jesus prays for God to communicate this blessing to us. Think of the knowledge undergirding such prayers. We pray for lots of people, oftentimes with incomplete knowledge of what their need is or what it is that we're praying for. But we trust that God, in his infinite knowledge, knows and is able to fill in the blanks. Imagine the completeness of the knowledge of the omniscient second person of the Godhead, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he prays for God to confer his blessing upon us. Who else knows better just how God ought to bless you? And what specific things poured out into your life would be a blessing to you? Who knows better than Jesus, our great high priest? Think of the tenderness animating those petitions. We have a high priest who is able to empathize with us, having been tempted in all ways as we are, yet without sin. He is the most empathetic priest that there could ever be. And he prays that God would administer his blessing in your life. Think of his wisdom in defining the application of those blessings, the efficacy of his supplications, so far more efficacious than that of Aaron, a mere man. This benediction is God-breathed. It is given with very specific parameters. The Lord did not simply instruct Aaron to bless the people. He didn't say, "Aaron and your sons, think up some words and pronounce them as a blessing over the people of God." God gave Aaron the very words to speak, and he commanded him and his sons to speak them just as they had been given. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron and his sons, thus you shall bless the people of God." The words of man may be doubted, but the words of God stand forever. The remarks of Spurgeon on this text are helpful here. He says, "The children of Israel might miss a blessing through the ignorance or forgetfulness or unbelief of Aaron, and therefore it was not left to him. He had to learn by heart each word and sentence." I like this, says Spurgeon, "for if God himself puts the very words into the mouth of his priest, then they are God's words. God himself arranged the three wonderful stanzas of blessing and commanded Aaron to say so much and no more. Not according to his own mind or wish or tenderness or narrowness does Aaron bless, but according to God's own mind must the fixed and predetermined benediction be given forth. Even so, the Lord has put into the Savior's mouth the words of blessing for us. Jesus said, I speak not my own words, but the words of him who sent me. Every glorious proclamation of divine grace from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ is a word given him by God himself. The Lord would compromise his own honor and glory if he were to run back from them. God himself in Jesus Christ declares that he will bless his people, yes, and they shall be blessed. So the content of this blessing that God put into the mouth of Aaron and his sons, first of all, it was a blessing from the Lord. The Lord is the echo throughout this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up upon you the light of his countenance. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. It is the Lord's purpose, promise, and pronouncement that it is his intention to do each of these things that are set before us in the clauses of this benediction. It is the Lord's intent, purpose, and promise to bless you, to fill your life with his blessing. It is the Lord's promise, purpose, to keep you, to protect you, to surround you with his arms of strength. It is the Lord's promise, purpose, to make his face to shine upon you, that the smiles of his countenance might be poured out upon you. It is God's purpose and promise to be gracious toward you, merciful. It is God's purpose and promise to lift up the light of his countenance upon you and to give you peace. How many times is the name of the Lord repeated in this benediction? Three. And we can see in this threefold pronouncement the correspondence to the three persons of the Godhead. This is a triune blessing. God the Father is the source of blessing and sovereign protection for his people. The first phrase of this benediction is, the Lord bless you and keep you. In Psalm 121, verse 5, the psalmist writes, the Lord is your keeper, your guard, your protector, your defense. The Lord is the shade on your right hand. God the Son is the appropriator of divine favor and grace to his people. In the second phrase of the benediction, Aaron and his sons were to say, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. It is through Christ that God's light shines upon us. We see the glory of the Father in the face of Christ. The third stanza phrase in this benediction, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, reminds us of the work of the Holy Spirit, who is the communicator of divine approval and peace. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The Spirit who descended upon Christ in the form of a dove at his baptism is the Spirit of peace. He communicates peace to us. So we have all three persons of the Godhead involved in these pronouncements of God's purpose and promised to bless us. What's the result of this benediction? In it, God testifies to our union with Him by sealing us with His name. He says, "Thus shall they put my name upon the children of Israel." It's a blessing to be recognized by name. Not too many weeks ago, the world, it seemed, was swept up and captivated by a royal wedding. I didn't watch it. Don't know if any of you did. Many people did. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. What a spectacle. What an amazing event everyone was looking forward to. Most people, like those who are ready to admit that they watched it here in this room, most people watched it from a great distance. They watched it on their computer screens or they watched it on their television sets. There were a few, comparatively, who were fortunate enough to receive an invitation and to be there in person, to be recognized by name by the royal family, and to be invited to the proceedings. Imagine how they must have felt. Isaiah 43:1 says, "But now thus says the Lord, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the King of kings and Lord of lords and Prince of princes, says, "I have called you by name." So if you had been one of those few blessed to receive a benediction or an invitation to those proceedings, how wonderful would that have felt? Now imagine instead that rather than one of the invitees to the ceremony, you were Meghan Markle. God not only names us by our name, but He puts His name upon us. The church is the bride of Christ. We are united to Him. He has drawn us to Himself. And here, as He prescribes this threefold blessing to be pronounced upon the people that He has chosen, He says, "Thus will I put my name upon my people." See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And God is jealous for the honor of His name. And so the final punctuation mark at the end of this command of benediction is, "And I will bless them." Moses, God says, "Tell Aaron and his sons to say these words of blessing over my people. These are my promises of my purpose and my commitment to bless my people. And as you do this solemn act that I'm commanding you this day, in this way I, the Lord, will put my name upon them. And if the Lord puts His name upon you in the form of His purpose to bless you, will you be blessed?" Will you? "Thus I will put my name upon them, and I will bless them." God stakes His reputation upon this promise. that he will bless his people. He puts his name on the line by pronouncing his intention to bless you and to keep you, to make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, to lift up upon you the light of his countenance and give you peace. He will do it. His name is attached to the promise. So here is the period, or should we say the exclamation point, at the end of the blessing. Here is God's amen. He doesn't say, I might bless them, or I'll consider blessing them. God Almighty, who does not lie, says, I will bless them. And if God orders the blessing pronounced on the authority of his own name, he will carry it out. So when we conclude our time of worship together and the benediction is pronounced over us, we can take that promise to the bank. God will bless you and keep you. God will make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. God will lift up upon you the light of his countenance and give you peace. In the name of and through the authority of Jesus Christ, the one mediator between God and men. Praise God and amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do pray that you would encourage our hearts with these words of promise and purpose that you have given to us. We thank you for the promise of goodness and grace and blessing that they hold before us. And we confess before you, Father, that we deserve none of these things. We haven't earned your favor. We haven't earned your protection. We haven't earned your safeguarding grace or the smile of your countenance. We have earned your frowns and your condemnation and your judgment and your punishment. But what a blessing that through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came in our place and who gave himself as a ransom for us, that our sins have been laid upon him and his righteousness imputed to us, so that we can stand as recipients of your favor, of your blessing, and of your grace. Father, we pray that these words would encourage our hearts, that it is in Christ your purpose to bless us, and that on the very authority of your name itself, you have staked this promise. So, Father, may we rejoice in our salvation and tell others, indeed, shout from the rooftops the way to this blessing from the Lord, that others too may share in the great happiness of being blessed of the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.